So an animated film has never won Best Picture, but they've been nominated for Best Picture.
How is Toy Story so monumental and it can't be the top movie of the year? That's so disrespectful to the animator. Party, it's always a party. Let's go, Paulette.
Yo, baby, how we doing? Happy Tuesday, happy Wednesday, whatever day you're listening. Happy day, partiers. What's up?
I was waiting for the confetti. I got scared. I got nervous.
Shit.
I kind of like that. We should just kept running it for every episode. Though the cleanup did take a little while.
The cleanup wasn't as bad as we thought. Hopefully, you checked out our episode last week. We just hit 100 episodes.
Yeah, we've had people reached out and congratulated us, so we appreciate those best wishes, and we wouldn't do it if it wasn't for you guys. So.
Honestly, our producer was like, do you think you got that? You would get that far? And it was like, honestly, I don't know, but 100's definitely a really cool milestone. So if you haven't checked out that episode already, really cool. It's definitely like our show to a T. Yeah. We did some trivia. We did some hot takes.
It's everything you love about us in one.
Yeah.
But don't go watch that episode yet.
Watch this one.
On the 101, bigger and better things.
Yeah, but really, really cool.
But you just got back from Aruba.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
So let's not hide the headline here.
Vacation. Honestly, it's summer. Hopefully everyone's going on vacation. You're doing cool things. That's what we preach.
How far is that?
Aruba? It's pretty far. I think it was a 4.5-hour flight. It's on the top of South America. So it's pretty far down there.
Head, not good at the map. As you can see, I'm not good at any trivia in the last episode.
No.
I'm not very good at
We should have did a geography question.
Probably shouldn't have done that. but what made you go to Aruba? Like, what would you just close your eyes and point at the map and say, all right, Aruba, let's do it. Let's run it.
Yeah, so I just came back from a trip to Aruba. We went down for 5 days. We had 6 days, but it was like really five down there. I've only been out of the country a few times. I went to Canada. We did a trip to the DR. We went to Punta Cana.
You went to Canada?
Yeah, when I was like 12.
Dude, I would love to go to Toronto. I heard it's like one of the best nightlifes.
I like Toronto. It's pretty good time.
Their drinking age is younger than 21, isn't it?
I think it's 18. Canada's 18.
Did you go when you were 18?
No, I went when I was 12. So
he just said that.
Just short, you know, of the thing. But Aruba, I went with my girlfriend and her family. It was their family trip. I was very thankful.
So you didn't have to pay for shit.
No, I paid my way. We're at the age after college where, you know, I can afford it, which is really cool. And Aruba, those islands, they're not cheap vacations. I'll tell you that. But honestly, I think it's a really cool experience to see that type of stuff. If you're fortunate, you know, enough to do it, we preach living your life, doing new experiences. And I wasn't the best, like, you know, what I love, right? I love theme parks.
Yeah.
I like staying here at the States.
You're not like a beach guy where it's like, Paul's like under the umbrella. Yeah. It's like, because you clearly didn't come back with the greatest tan.
I did get a little tan. I'm not going
to
lie.
We're going to have to put that on the review.
I definitely did get a little tan. I got a little color. the sun by the equator there is hot.
What's that TikTok where they go under the review when they go to see if the girl's butt is actually big? You know that when they go and then they cut to the referee and they go, okay, this is on the review. And then they go review and they either give a yellow card or a red card.
All right, well, you can
look at... They know what I'm talking about.
You can look
I told you what side of TikTok I'm on.
Yeah, we know. But we can look at past episodes. I definitely got some color.
we're going to have to compare that.
But it was really cool. It was down with her family. We spent 5 days there. Most of the time, we were on the beach and the pool at the resort. Aruba is cool because it does have, like, a strip of, like, shops and restaurants and stuff. A lot of islands don't. A lot of islands, like, you go to. We went to the DR. We went to Punta Cana.
Yeah.
And it's like, you stay at the resort. And, like, Jamaica's the same way. Like, you stay at the resort.
They
like
actually recommend you stay at the resort.
Yeah.
Because it can get a little shaky off the resort. They're like, oh, do not leave this resort no matter where you go. I was like, what, am I going to get murdered out there? Like, possibly.
So, Aruba's cool because you do have that freedom. We did ATV tours. Which was fire. We did some ATV tours. We got to see the island a little bit. A lot of the resorts, everything's on the south side of the island. It's where the water's a lot calmer. The beaches are there. We got to see the north side. We got to see some mountains, some harsher stuff. We saw our harsher waters.
Any animals?
I
don't fuck with animals. Like when I go to these out of the country or these resorts and then I see a couple like iguanas, I get nervous because I don't know how to approach an iguana. I don't know how to handle an iguana attack.
It was really crazy.
You feel me?
I mean, if you think about it, right?
I don't think they attack you.
They don't. They definitely don't attack you.
They attack me.
But at the resort, we saw a lot of geckos and we saw a lot of iguanas. If you think of like a squirrel, think of like a squirrel on like steroids of being like up in your business.
Oh, yeah.
They just like hanging around. And I think it's because at the resort, a lot of people feed them. So like they expect you to feed them. They'll be around. They're kind of like that. They're not harmed. They're not going to harm you. But it is just a whole different change of pace.
Dude, can we go back to the squirrels?
Yeah.
Squirrels are very different based on location. I went to school down south. They do not, excuse my language, give a fuck about any humans. Like, they will come up in your grill. Like, they will go, like, you'll go golfing, like, at Aruba or something like that. And they'll literally go in your golf cart, like, as you're just golfing there with them. Like, they give no fuck squirrels. And sometimes you see some squirrels that don't even look like squirrels. They look half squirrel, half skunk. You ever see those things? Okay, this is my squirrel rant. But go ahead. I forget what
you're
saying.
No, it was just iguanas and stuff.
Google it. Half squirrel, half
little lizards. It was pretty cool. A lot of times we went down to we were in the north side and we did a little like cliff jump.
Oh.
Which was pretty dope in like a little cave. And getting back up, there were just like crabs everywhere.
Oh.
But, you know, they were harmless. If you put your foot, you know, around, you put your hand somewhere, they like scatter. So they didn't want nothing to do with it.
So no bungee jump or anything? Just straight free for all from the cliff?
Yeah, it was a cliff. It wasn't too high. It was maybe like 10 feet up in the air.
I told my, I want to get a haircut the other day.
Yeah.
And
cool story, bro.
We were talking, the lady, my hairdresser, follows us on Instagram or whatever.
Nice.
Likes the show.
Nice.
And I told her that you called me the other day to go skydiving.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck that. I'm not going skydiving.
Why not?
But I would say this. It's just skydiving. I'm not scared to do it because I'm not scared of roller coasters. Like, I like sitting in the front row. I like those adventurous things.
The thrill.
It's just that I don't really want to do it. And then she was like, well, no one's forcing you to do it. And I'm like, well, Paul's actually forcing me to do it.
Yeah, to give you a little reference, I'm currently in the process. I will be getting my skydiving license very soon.
I told her that, too.
So I'm going to be doing my skydiving license. Maybe we do some coverage or I make a video and we post it on the channel. And I was like, Ryan, come on, let's start this thing. Just
no!
Like, just go with me once. You know what I mean? We can make it into a video for the channel.
Yeah, he's like, we'll get the producer Drew. Producer Drew will jump, and we'll just, like, the preference of the video is just Ryan overcoming his fear to jump out of a plane. No! I'm turning that one down immediately.
I need the part.
I don't like that thumbnail. I don't like that title.
But here's
the
thing.
Great thumbnail. I don't know what you mean.
I need the parters to come together because something we do on the show is we talk about living your life to the fullest, conquering your fears, going out of your boundaries. I give the man a great opportunity to do just that.
Yeah, Ryan, jump out the fucking plane.
And we also tell our people how to say no to peer pressure.
That's true.
Because peer pressure is very bad for people, especially in alcohol and in extreme sports. Such as skydiving. I'll say this, though. I don't know about you guys or anyone who's listening at home, but I think I would prefer to skydive rather than bungee jumping. Are we on the same page with that?
Does that make sense? Yeah. I want to do both again.
You never bungee jumped?
I haven't. We don't live in an area in New Jersey where it's readily available. Like, there's not a good spot for it.
But, yeah, but I feel like it's more accessible than it used to be. Like, you can bungee jump, like, at the boardwalk now.
No, you cannot. Where?
Yes,
where are you jumping off?
You
the
can 10 bungee
foot
jump.
Where?
No.
No, you're not.
You're not bungee jumping off the boardwalk. They have like a contraption where they send you up and they bungee you. You never seen that?
No,
you mean the slingshot?
The slingshot's the same thing as a bungee
jump. No, it's totally different. It's totally different.
It's up, not down.
The whole point of the bungee jump is you're on like a higher elevation and you were jumping down into like a valley or like. Like, that's the idea. It's not, I mean, I've seen awesome ones from Africa. A lot of South American countries have them. In the U.S., there's really not that many. Like, especially here in the Northeast, there's, like, nothing available.
What's that extreme sport where people jump off of cliffs and they have the wings?
Fly? So there's a thing called, there's skydiving, right? Which is obviously you're jumping from, like, 10,000 feet. And then you have base jumping, which you're jumping from lower, like, altitudes. So you're jumping off a building, like, somebody has tried to jump off the Twin Towers when they were there. Somebody was trying to jump off the Eiffel Tower. So it's like you're jumping off from lower heights, and it's a lot more dangerous because you're basically jumping.
You have less room to work with.
Yeah, you're jumping and immediately pulling your chute. So if something goes wrong, obviously you can bump into stuff. It's very dangerous. A lot of places are illegal. And then you have yours called, it's a wingsuit. So it's like, it's the next level of skydiving where you jump, but it's a wingsuit and you can expand your arms and you kind of glide through the air.
There's people being
moving. And you travel distances rather than just like falling.
You know? And then what do? So you spread your wings and you like,
you can move maneuver, like a fucking pterodactyl or bat.
Yeah, through a cave. And then you just pull the parachute.
And then I think eventually, yeah, you would pull it. When you get lower.
That's scary. And you probably have to have lots of experience to do that.
Yeah, because you got to know where to land. You can't. It's not as easy.
How many base jumps do you need to do to be able to skydive by yourself?
So,
and that's what you want to do eventually, right?
Yeah, so I want to get my skydiving license. There's a bunch of different licenses, and it's by letter. So, like, the first one, the base skydiving license is A. It's like your A license. It's very basic. You would be able to skydive by yourself, and then you would work up your way. You take classes, you do exercises, and then you would basically earn your way up to like B, C, D, E, F, and then that would probably allow you to jump from different heights, different countries, probably different suits, stuff like that.
Nice. Different and then stunts. You have to do an X amount of jumps in order to like bring a GoPro?
Yeah, so I think...
That seems stupid to me.
I think it's just a safety precaution, but wait, so I didn't answer the first question. Like, I think it's 30 jumps.
That's
to
wild.
Get your license.
So 30 jumps with someone else, and then once you do that, you get your license. Like, there's no test. You just do 30 jumps.
There is a test. I mean, it's a course. You're taking a course through, like, you need, like, three jumps with tandem, right? Someone's on your back, and they're teaching you kind of what's to go through. And then you take, like, a packing course where you pack the parachute, and then you're taking, like, different flight courses in the air where, like, you're jumping. There's an instructor next to you. They're teaching you different things, or they're still jumping with you, and then maybe they watch you, but they're next to you. God forbid something happens. Like, there's a lot of different types of jumps. So you go through the course, and you go through everything, and at the end, you would earn your A license, and then you would probably have to do another course to get to the B, C, D, etc.
Where's the GoPro? There, like,
I think, I mean, I heard that, but this was years ago, it was around 500 jumps before you can put
a
camera
fucking
on.
Camera?
But I think it's just a safety precaution. It's like, why worry about a camera? You should be worrying about your safety
life.
Yourself first. And then once you're talented enough and you've gone through it enough, it's like you can put the camera on and not really worry about it.
I told my girlfriend, I was like, Paul just called me. He wants me to go skydive, and she said, you're not going, right?
So funny about this as well, though, and I think this is the way for friends anyway who don't want to do this or against it.
I wouldn't use the word against it.
Okay.
You're against
it. I'm not closing the book on it. Is that fair to the fans?
Okay.
So you would jump out of a plane.
Should we do a thing where it's like, if we get X amount of likes?
All right, if we get 10 likes on this video, Ryan will jump.
I'm good with 10.
Honestly, I don't know if we're going to get 10. hey, positive vibes. You know what? I'm not jumping out of a plane, but if you can do it, you can go. Doesn't Will Smith have that very passionate speech about jumping out of a plane?
He talks about the freedom and your feelings when you're
He's talking about
jumping.
Freedom. It doesn't sound like he has much freedom. Well, all right, so one on the show.
Just jump out of a plane, damn it.
Aruba, so you didn't do any other things then? You went dune buggying?
We did ATVs. We hung by the pool. We did the beach. The water is just awesome, dude. If you get to experience water down and like on islands, it's just a whole different vibe. And we're used to the Jersey Shore. Honestly, I do think we're spoiled. People brag, like nag on it, but it's a good shore. I mean, it's nice. It's not an island, but it's nice. I think a lot of people, you know, at least here in the States, like in the middle of the country, you don't have access to a beach.
Yeah,
like,
no.
A lot of people grow up their entire lives and maybe been to the beach once or haven't been at all.
Well, we talked about that with Lexi on the show.
Yeah.
And she went to... Frig, I forget where she went. Oh, she went to Cancun for, like, the pageant and all the other pageant winners from each state representative. They went to Cancun, and they were doing, like, a group photo shoot on the beach. And she said all these other, like, state representative ladies had never been to a beach before. So they're like soaking in that first time, like going to the beach. So we do take it for granted being from South and North Jersey.
So I definitely like Aruba. I recommend it.
I have a wild question.
Yeah, what's up?
Did they have those birds that like go up and they torpedo into the ocean? I feel like I asked this before.
I haven't seen anything.
I told you it was going to be a wild question.
They did have a lot of tropical birds there, which was really cool to see. They had some birds in cages where you could like see them, and then they let them out every morning.
Oh, okay. I'm not going out in the morning. They let them out in the morning.
Yeah, they clean. What's
the
really
birds
cool?
Birds are out in the morning.
No, but what's cool about the resort was like, I mean, we got
Ryan's scared of birds jumping out of planes.
Ryan's scared of a lot of things.
I am scared of birds.
Yeah,
we went through this.
Are you yes. really?
We've been through this. Where I'm scared of the hawk that circles me, and I'm scared to come down.
Okay, but no, but the resort's cool because they clean the cages of the birds every morning. So, like, when they clean them, they let the bird out, and he gets some freedom. And then they clean the cage, and then he'll go back to the cage, and the guests get to see the tropical birds.
Nice. Any nightlife there?
Good? Yeah, I mean, there was some cool stuff. We went out to one, it was like a taco place, and then it was really nice drinks, club atmosphere.
Like, all-inclusive? Like, you didn't have to pay for shit?
Well, no, drinks? That was just like a bar on the strip. Okay. There are all-inclusive resorts. There was one next to us called the Ryu. That's an all-inclusive. So there are different variations. Ours was not. But it all depends what you want to do. Like we went to Punta Cana and like we did an all-inclusive. And for us at that age, we were 20. It was like really nice to not. It was like, yeah. All right, we paid for everything. Let's just go have fun. Let's drink. Let's do our thing. So it all depends on what you want to do. And a lot of those islands, they'll have different options for you.
Nice. I will go to Aruba. I will not go skydiving, Jamaica. So, if you watched the last episode, you saw that I couldn't even name 5 Pixar movies.
I think I asked you to name 10. I think you got to 6.
Okay.
With help from me.
With help, yes.
So, with that being said, today on the show, we're going to go down a list of some Pixar facts. Fact show. So, today I'm going to learn about Pixar. I'm going to be open about learning about Pixar, and we'll go from there. These are very interesting facts. So without further ado, let's get into it. The first Pixar fact is that Pixar was initially founded in 1979 under the name The Graphic Group as part of George Lucas's computer division. In 1986, Lucas sold the group to Steve Jobs, who established it as an independent company. Pixar Animation Studios officially incorporated in California of February 1986. Disney then bought Pixar for $7.4 billion. The deal made Steve Jobs Disney's largest individual stakeholder. So I don't know if that's the case. Like, how does that work? Does his family inherit that stake in Disney?
Yeah, I mean, if someone owns it,
like,
I would
assume. Who the highest, you probably don't, but who's the highest stakeholder of Disney? That probably fluctuates.
I don't know if it's like how that, not going to lie, I don't know anything about stocks.
Dude, I saw.
That's not my forte.
I saw a wild, stat that Steve Jobs only owned 1% of Apple. Like that's insane that he created Apple and was only owned 1% of that company.
Well, didn't he get booted off and then he had to come back in? At that point, he was just an employee.
Yeah, I don't know about Apple, but that was an interesting fact about Pixar. Paul, what's the second one?
Second one is, as a way to both market its animation software and generate money, Pixar produced commercials for various companies, including Tropicana, Listerine, and Lifesavers.
I guess this kind of just talks about how, like, you got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And I never knew that Pixar actually started doing commercials like that. It makes sense, but Tropicana, Listerine, and Lifesavers. I mean, you have to start somewhere, and that's where they started.
Yeah.
Next Pixar fact. In 1991, Pixar signed a 3-film contract with Disney. The first movie they were to produce for them was Toy Story. That's kind of crazy how, like, they produced Toy Story first, and it's, like, the biggest Pixar IP, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I mean, it's the original. You have Toy Story, obviously made 4 films out of it. But originally, when Pixar was created, the whole idea was that they didn't want to do sequels.
I know. I remember you saying that. And I was about to ask you, like, why don't you think that, like, Bugs Life was literally one of my favorite movies. Did they do a sequel of Bugs Life? Did we talk about that? That's crazy. So why do you think they did a sequel for Toy Story but not Bugs Life? Because I would imagine that the success is not that far off. Unless I'm just one that just loves Bugs Life. Because Bugs Life has attractions and shit in Disney World.
It still does. I mean, they still have a good presence in Animal Kingdom with the theater in the Tree of Life. In Disney's California Adventure, they actually just tore down a Bugs Land for Avengers Campus. But yeah, I mean, for a really long time, it's on Pixar. They used to have a thing on Pixar Pier in DCA too. So for a long time, Bugs Life, for some, you know, had a lot of presence in the parks.
Oh, yeah, that's wild.
But yeah, they didn't want to do sequels. And then it was more of like the whole story with Toy Story 2, where if you know Disney, you have the original film. So we talked about last week where like Lilo and Stitch, right, had their film, and then even The Lion King has their film, and then there's like The Lion King 2, The Lion King 1.5. I think there's a lot, you know, there's like The Little Mermaid 2, 3, right? But they're a little smaller films and they went straight to VHS.
Yeah.
And that was the whole thing. And it was like Disney didn't really put out theatrical sequels. And the reason was because...
Wait, can we go back? Like, what we talked about last episode. You said that Lilo and Stitch came out with one theatrical movie, but then came out with...
Like Lilo's...
What's the difference?
Like a 2 and 3. So the difference is those films went straight to VHS. They went to, like, home video.
So theatrical is just them going to the movie theaters first.
Correct.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they... Lilo and Stitch, like I said, these other films, like... Little Mermaid 2, 3, Aladdin has sequels too. They all went to VHS, and that was a building block. It was some extra money that Disney could make on the ancillary market, which is stores, DVDs, things like that, that they could make some extra money, and it was a way to train animators. So like new animators would go on these films to create these sequels, and they weren't like as well done because they were straight to home release. And then you had Toy Story 2, which came out, and then the animators and the storytellers behind Toy Story 2, when Disney and Pixar got a hold of like more of the final cut of the film, it was like, this film is so good that like it needs to go to theaters. And they pushed for it. There was a whole story about the movie was almost deleted. Like it was on a computer. It was almost deleted. There's like a whole story on that too. So it's just like Pixar, you know, started with Disney. Obviously the success of Toy Story, A Bug's Life. Toy Story 2 was such a big success as well, which is one of my favorite Pixar films. And then I guess the other film technically in that contract would have been Monsters, Inc.
Yeah, I don't think we like really talked about it, but like I remember producer Drew was like, how many, because we were talking about like what series or what IPs, I guess you could say, like how they can last so long to 6 or 7 movies. But you said like Pixar does like a great job in like finding different story, like point of views of stories, right? So it feels like almost Pixar never runs out of point of views of stories, you know?
Well, there's a big joke with Pixar in general where it's like, what if we gave blank feelings? So it was like a toy, right? So what if we gave toys feelings? Toy Story. What if we gave insects feelings? A Bug's Life. What if we gave cars feelings? Cars. What if we gave, it was like, oh, what if we gave feelings? Inside Out. So like there's a whole joke like behind this, oh, like what do we give, like, and then it was like dinosaurs.
I never thought that's wild.
And that was like a main process. It was like even Soul's kind of that way, right? Like
let's give music life, feeling like
it's kind of what do you, you know. And then Pixar is really known for being all about the story and about the message and about tearing at your heartstrings. So It's just a funny joke that people talk about with those films.
That's meta.
That's actually interesting.
But
shit.
Obviously, they originally signed this 3-film contract with Disney, did really well for them, and then Disney bought them out for $7.4 billion. And that was back in 2006.
Yeah.
Like, that was so much money. I forget.
$7.4 billion in 2006 is wild.
It was literally wild. And you see what they bought Fox for. When Disney bought Fox, it was for $60 billion. And I forget what they bought Marvel for at the time. They bought Marvel before, I think it was... they only had like 2 or 3 films, and then I think they bought them. I don't know how much it was for, Drew, if you want to look it up.
Dude, that's a crazy investment by Steve Jobs, dude.
$4 billion to buy Marvel.
So, and that was what, 2010?
Doesn't say exactly here.
I think it was right around that time. So $4 billion, they bought the animation studio for even more. That's what's crazy. But it became their powerhouse.
2009.
Oh, 09. So. I mean, it became a huge powerhouse for them, and Disney really, I mean, to this day, has thrived on, like, buying companies out. They bought Pixar out, they bought Marvel out, they bought Lucasfilm and Star Wars out, and then Fox. It's like this company, I mean, they have their own Disney properties, but...
Don't they also own ABC?
Yeah, ABC, Disney's the parent company.
Yeah.
Just like ESPN, and ESPN's under that bundle, too.
Oh, really?
Hmm. Yeah.
Buying a studio has got to be so rare. Like, you think of how hard it is to buy a sports team. I mean, buying a studio, like, what are the top studios?
Well, you could think of, like, you would think of divisions, right? So, like, Disney has their animation divisions, which are Pixar Animation and then Disney Animation. Universal, recently, they bought DreamWorks, I want to say 2016. So it's like they bought DreamWorks. They have Illumination Entertainment. They're there too. You have Sony, has Sony Animation. Warner Brothers just opened their own animation studio. Paramount is like CBS Viacom is like the main company. And then it has like Paramount Studios. And then it has like Nickelodeon is under there. And there's like Nickelodeon Animation. There's main studios. I think we've done a whole thing on like studios, but there's like main studios where you say like Disney, Universal, Sony, Warner Brothers, right, is in there. There was like five or Fox was one of them. I think there was like six big ones.
But other studios can do Marvel movies, or is that just all Sony?
Well, now it's all just Disney. Disney owns all the rights because they bought Fox, which had the last of it, except for The Incredible Hulk. I mean, we're kind of going down a rabbit hole, but like...
No, because I was thinking, because like Kevin Hart, like you never really see production or Illumination's newer, but you never really see like... Because I follow Kevin Hart on all social media, and like he has a documentary and stuff, but like through his documentary of his personal life, you can see like how he's developing a studio. Like,
he has his own production studio.
It's like Heartbeat Production. Yep. And he's literally doing like podcasts. He's doing his own movies there. And you could see how he's in the beginning of it because his budget, you could tell when a movie doesn't have a high budget.
Yeah.
And you could tell that his personal movies recently, the ones that he doesn't do with like The Rock or et cetera, they're not as good as those Marvel movies. But it's interesting to see firsthand the development of that studio and how much money you have. And
that's what that's a pure example, right? Like
of like the Pixar commercials.
If you have a studio, you got to show what your product is. You got to start from somewhere. And then if you have a really good product like Pixar did, and Disney saw the value in them and then bought them for X amount of dollars. Like you have these larger studios who are probably just working their way up and then are hoping, you know, that's like products. Products are the same way, right? Like you create a really good product. At the end of the day, you're going to make the most money if someone buys you out.
That's like Barstool we talked about.
Same thing.
People are going to buy us out.
Maybe. We'll see. Life support, baby. All ours. Next Pixar fact.
We'll do a couple more Toy Story facts.
Okay.
You got the next one.
In 1993, Disney almost shut down production of Toy Story because they found Woody to be too much of a sarcastic jerk.
Do people like Woody more or Buzz Lightyear?
So Woody's the main character of Toy Story by far.
I get that, but is the public opinion more so on Buzz or Woody? I've always been a Woody guy.
I've been a Buzz guy.
I think I was Woody multiple times as a kid for Halloween. That's going to be a big... Screw the LeBron, Michael Jordan debate. Who's better, Woody or Buzz? Like, I'd be interested to see, like, if we did a poll on that, or maybe this is just a TikTok, and then we're just going to have a million comments on who's Team Buzz, Team Woody. But the movie is revolved around, would you compare it to Woody being Batman and then Buzz being Robin? But is it, like, that far of a distance, you know?
I don't think it's that far, but it's kind of that way.
So Buzz is kind of up there.
Yeah.
But you're Team Buzz, so I'm Team Woody.
Definitely Team Buzz. We've talked about it. So originally, Woody was supposed to be a ventriloquist dummy.
Yeah, very creepy.
And he was very creepy. And I think that's also, I mean, movies, people don't realize, like, obviously, everything you see in a movie is so detailed, so in-depth. Animated films usually take around 5 years to make. So a lot of people are working on this, and that's a lot of people working on those films. Like, I mean, that's a big part of someone's career, right? If you could... You work in the animation industry for 40 years. That's only 8 films you're working on. Like, that's what's crazy about that stuff. So, you probably rise the ranks and you're doing different stuff. And maybe, I mean, animation, there's a lot of different departments. So, you might be just rigging. And then you do rigging, which is like moving parts and stuff of the animation for CGI, for 3D animation. And then you might be doing that for other films.
Why does it always seem like it always works out, you know? Like, whenever you go back and look and be like...
Well, because you hear... But that's the thing, because you hear the success stories. The failure stories you don't hear. So it's like, oh, everything always works out. No, you just hear the good ones. And as I said, Toy Story 2, that was a really good story. And that's... people talk about it where they made Toy Story 2. It was supposed to go to VHS. It was so good that Disney and Pixar wanted to put it... I don't even know if Pixar wanted it to theaters. Because they didn't really want to make sequels in the first place. And then we're kind of forced to make that film. They were like, this story's too good, has to go to theaters. And then it was almost deleted accidentally.
Yeah, that's why.
It was like,
that guy should have been fired.
Then it became one of the best animated films of all time. If you look at the 4 Toy Story films, it's my favorite.
We follow those guys who do the beer thing. and they do the trivia in the office. We follow them.
Yeah.
They did like a top Pixar movie. And I think Toy Story won.
I mean, people.
Toy Story and Incredibles were in the finals.
Those original Pixar films, you know, really during their heyday, I think the best Pixar films you're going to look at, like Toy Story, The Incredibles, Finding Nemo, Monsters, Inc., like those four.
How can we think, like, you know how everybody always has like a distinction? It's like, oh, what's the best anime movie and like the best movies of all time? How come like Toy Story never gets really talked about in best movies of all time?
Because
like if you were to Google like top 25 movies of all time, Toy Story's got to be on that list, but it won't be.
It might be. It's weird. It's a hard thing, and a lot of people talk about it like genre, right? Unfortunately, people think that animation is a genre,
yeah.
Where it's not, because you can make an animated film in any genre, and it's like animation is the art form. And you can do so much with animation, and that's why I just love it so much, because you can tell these amazing stories. I just saw Sea Beast on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting take on like a pirate story and like a monster story. I really like that. It was really cool from Netflix. They're trying to enter the animation game. And it's like, you can never do that story in live action. Like the type of beasts, it just wouldn't really work out.
I think I am wrong in saying that, though. I believe that, I don't know if it was Toy Story, but an animated film did win Best Picture before.
So an animated film has never won Best Picture, but they've been nominated for Best Picture.
See,
so
that doesn't make sense to me.
Beauty and the Beast was nominated for Best Picture.
That does not make sense to me. How is Toy Story so monumental in the world, and it can't be the top movie of the year?
It's hard.
Because it's an animation film?
I think it's a respect thing. It's the industry. It just still doesn't respect it the way it should be. It's getting better. It's getting a lot better.
Buzz Lightyear should be top supporting actor. give Buzz Lightyear a goddamn Oscar. But I feel like that's so disrespectful.
Is, Drew, did you find, was Toy Story on a list of top films?
He was. It was not on 25. It was number 73.
Where's the list coming from?
One was from IMDb, and the other one was, I will tell you.
That is not, Toy Story is not the 73rd best movie of all time.
The other one was from a website called timeout.com.
Yeah,
those were the top.
The IMDb one's good. What was it listed again?
On timeout, it was listed 73.
And what was IMDb?
IMDb didn't have it on the top 25 at all.
Oh, okay.
Like, I get the sense where you want to hand over the Oscar to Leonardo DiCaprio or Meryl Streep because it's an actual person. But there's actual people behind the development of Woody and the character and the animation. Like, those people are just as creative or just as talented creative as Tarantino or all those top directors. So they should be respected on the same level. Who cares if Buzz Lightyear can't get on stage and say a speech?
It's
the guy who develops Buzz Lightyear should have the same opportunity as that guy.
It's just a different look on the industry, unfortunately. I think, like I said, it's getting better. It's getting more respect. And even nowadays, it's crazy. CGI, right?
Yeah.
Like, you look at these big Avengers films, it's like, I mean, they're basically animation. Like, there's a lot.
Yeah,
there's those big battles, they're done in previs. They're animated completely out, and then they add some different stuff in later, like with the actors and real live action and, like, actual film stuff on set. But those big action sequences are, like, almost done completely in the computer. And
I think a big reason why is that they base Toy Story being for kids.
Well,
and they feel like the kids should have their, it's like you have to sit at the kids table for dinner.
It's the
kids should have their own award show. Oh, let's go give Toy Story its respect on, what's the Nickelodeon awards?
Kids Choice Awards.
Kids Choice Awards, Toy Story, best film. Like, no, fuck that. Toy Story was the best film of the year. They should get it where the big boys are.
It's a respect thing where animation is, you know, it's still associated with Saturday cartoons and cartoons being for children because it's animated. Where, like, animation has come so far and so different. We talk about Soul, literally a Pixar film, and, like, Soul's
Incredible
about the meaning, Soul's about the meaning of life. And, like, the freaking movie's made for adults.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
Toy Story was actually nominated for a Kids' Choice Award.
There you go.
Like, that's insane to me. Like, it shouldn't be like that. Like, I can drink a Bud Light at the kids' table. Let me win a big boy award. Like, that's so disrespectful to the animators. Don't you agree, Paul?
Yeah.
All right, the next Toy Story fact is that Woody, we were talking about Woody, his facial features are slightly based on a talking Casper the Friendly Ghost doll. And we touched on this in the past, where directors always kind of base characters on real life Friends or real life actors, as we talked about with Robin Williams and the genie. Even like comedians, like they always use their real life, like their uncle, and tell their uncle joke, but then it's just a fabricated version of their uncle in real life. So people in the entertainment and creative world are always using references they see on a daily basis or actual people in their lives to tell a story in a different way. So to go based off a doll and be like, okay, this doll is near to my heart, let's sort of design Woody based off of this Casper, but let's change it up a little bit. It happens all the time in creative world.
I mean, coming from film school, right, and I've taken screenwriting classes, the most important thing people talk about is, like, write what you know. And if you do jokes as a comedian, right, you're getting there, it's like, be authentic. Because the authentic stuff will shine through, and it'll be your best work. So if you can, just like animation, just like storytelling in general, if you can come from a place of authenticity and write about what you know, then those stories will be better, and you could pull from your inspirations in real life, right? Like, if you have, you can base a character off your father, and you could write that character a lot better because you have such a close connection with your dad and, like, what he was like, and you can change it a little bit, but you're starting from a place of familiarity where it's like, okay, cool, and it just feels more authentic.
That's got to be so fun in animation, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would assume the main character in Up, that grandpa, has to be based off of a guy that...
Yeah, of course.
Like, his aneurysms, his work. Like, he's definitely based off... I don't know... I almost fucking said Up was a true story. But I think that there's true story elements in the Up. There has to be.
Yes, there is. Yeah.
But yeah, that's...
Next Pixar fact. Let's talk about... There is a tribute to the hidden city in Monsters, Inc. This is a reference to a real-life place, actually a cafe, in Point Richmond, California. In 1994, several famous Pixar directors had lunch there and came up with the ideas for these movies: A Bug's Life, Monsters, Inc., Finding Nemo, and WALL-E.
Yeah, so
heard about this.
This is like a top-tier story. Just to think that you sat there at a lunch table, wrote a couple notes on a napkin, came up with 5-4 blockbusters. It's insane. It's insane to me. Well, that's what you hear that with albums and artists. They'll go into a studio at 2 a.m. Next thing you know, they got two of the best, like, bangers, like Post Malone. I went to the studio last night, didn't think anything of it. I made three of the top 100 Billboard list, like, songs. So it happens.
It does.
Creative ideas come in big groups. Next one is that Billy Crystal deeply regretted turning down the chance to voice Buzz Lightyear. So he happily took the next Pixar role that was offered to him, which turned out to be the role of Mike Wazowski in Monsters, Inc. So this is kind of funny, to be honest. It's like, oh, I just missed out on Buzz Lightyear. I'll take whatever's next. Boom, Mike Wazowski. Perfect.
It's seeing the gold that happens there, right? Like, Pixar needed to earn a little bit more of a, like, gain respect. And it was more of, like, these high-name actors, such like Billy Crystal in his heyday, was a very popular actor, very respected comedian. And it was like, okay, how do you get these big names? You kind of have to prove your worth. And it was like, how great Toy Story was just kind of showed it to him. It was like, damn, I missed out on that amazing opportunity. Yeah. I will take what you, like, give me whatever you want.
He's lucky they gave him another shot.
Mike Wazowski is such a insane
And role. I'm sure if you were to ask Billy Crystal, he would be like, yeah, I wouldn't want it to happen any other way. Like, Tim Allen was made for Buzz Lightyear. I was made to be Mike Wazowski. One of my favorite things at Disney, isn't that Disney World? They have the Mike Wazowski. It's not called the Laugh House.
It's called the Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor.
I love that.
It's in Tomorrowland.
It's so good.
It's a little comedy show. They do improv and they mess with the audience. It's a really cool attraction.
They do like crowd work and stuff. I love that. I love seeing videos. That and
the Crush.
Yeah, it's so good. And they're the three big things of, like, basically crowd work in, like, the animated world, I guess you could say, is the Mike Wazowski Laugh Floor. You got Crush and the Nemo, and then you have the Eddie Murphy donkey of Shrek. Like, those three things. I love seeing those videos. They're so funny.
I mean, people realize, my mom just did a trip to Disney.
Did she?
And she was talking about, she was in this restaurant down in Disney Springs called Einstein's. Edison.
Thomas Edison? Wrong guy.
Yeah, Thomas Edison. So I think the restaurant was called, like, Edison's or something. And they had a roaming character who was Thomas Edison. And he would walk around and, like, play with you, and he would talk to you and interact with you. And she was just telling me like how much enjoyment that was, right? And it's like those character interactions, and that's why they're so popular. And even as adults, people go back and talk to these characters or do these shows because they're just so great. And those comedians and those people, those cast members and performers are just so gifted and so talented.
Oh, yeah.
Donkey's one of them, right? Like, he's so snarky. If you watch the Donkey meet and greet over at Universal Studios, they just moved him, actually. They moved because the Shrek ride closed in Universal Studios. They added – Donkey's meet and greet was always so popular where you can meet Donkey, Shrek, and Fiona.
Yeah.
They moved it to the kids' zone in the back of the park, and it's very popular again. But you have, like, Turtle Talking with Crush – we see on TikTok, it's kind of blowing up on TikTok. Yeah. I see it everywhere. And people are loving it because the crowd work that the performer does and just how authentic it is.
And it's different.
How smart it is.
Like when you go on It's a Small World, it's the same shit every time.
It's just
when you go to Universal, go on Spider-Man, Transformers, same shit every time. But when you go to this, you get new material. It's different. So yeah, I like that. But people eat that shit up all the time. It's like I saw a viral video the other day of this family was having like a cookout out in their backyard and they hired a Donald Trump impersonator and he's just walking around doing the hand gestures. It's like that guy probably made a couple $100 just to show up as Donald Trump. Probably didn't even have to say anything, but people love that shit. They eat it up. All right. Next Pixar facts.
There is a secret speakeasy at Pixar called the Lucky Seven Lounge. It's a hidden behind a bookcase. So animator Andrew Gordon discovered it while investigating a human-sized hatch in the back of the wall of his new office. After finding it, that the tunnel ended in a lost space, he started to decorate it.
Yeah, and then later on, the room was modified to add in a sliding bookshelf with a hidden button that have easier access to the lounge. People said that Steve Jobs loved it there. That would be cool to go there. I would love to tour like the Pixar Animation Studio. I don't know if they do that.
No.
You can't?
So that is a cool thing. Because, yeah, a lot of people would,
like,
right?
I started to watch. They had the Pixar documentary. They have a couple of stages on how they develop certain movies. And I started watching the one on Soul, but it wasn't like – I didn't feel like I was getting an inside scoop. I just kind of didn't really like it. But I would love – a detailed documentary on Pixar. I would love to tour, like us being creators, that'd be so cool to tour the Pixar studio.
What's cool about all that stuff is their campuses, right? Like it's a large campus that you can go. There's different creative offices. There's cafeterias. There's grass and different space outside where people
it's like
can
a university.
Be creative. Yeah, it's honestly like a small. It's probably not even a small university. It's probably a university, as Ryan said.
They got a football team, Pixar. Pixar Pistols.
But it is cool, and I believe Pixar Animation Studios is by invitation only. So they have a gift shop where you can get the Luxo ball, and it's a hidden Easter egg in all their Pixar films. Oh. And it's that ball. It's yellow. It has a blue stripe around it, and I think the star's red, or
yes,
the red stripe.
Star.
Whatever it is, it's that ball that's in all the Pixar films. It's a little hidden Easter egg, but you can buy it there, and it was the only place where you could buy that for a very long time. I don't know if they put it in the parks at all, but I believe that studio is invitation only, and I have seen some creators go there. It's just pretty cool.
I have a follow-up thing I learned about recently. It's kind of off-topic, but your favorite movie, Back to the Future. They shot Back to the Future all at... the Backlot studio.
Yeah, I think it was the Warner Brothers Backlot, or it was the Universal Backlot. It's a Universal film, but somebody was trying to correct me. They were like, I don't think it's the Universal Backlot. It's the Warner Brothers. It's one of the Backlots.
I think it's the Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Can you go there?
So, yeah, I think they still do tours and stuff. They still use it for films. They would just decorate it. They would set decorate it, whatever the era is. And the whole reason is, I mean, Back to the Future, I could talk about for hours, but that Backlot set, it just made a lot of sense for them because the way they were doing things, they were trying to show Hill Valley, which is the main town, in three different decades. They showed it in 1985, they showed it in 1955, and then later on in the second movie, they showed it in 2015. So it was like showing, they basically would just decorate this set of like town square for three different decades, and it was really easy to do that on the property.
Well, the reason I brought it up is because I saw a crazy statistic where or a fact, is that when Back to the Future went to VHS, I guess, they sold for $81 a piece. The movie did?
I don't know if that's true. I think that's what I saw, is where the movie, like, each copy sold for $81 each. I don't know if that's true.
The movie did blow up. It was not expected to be as popular as it was. It came out 4th of July weekend.
What was the year it came out?
1985.
I mean, that was VHS was around by then, right?
Yeah.
Was it accessible to everybody? Like, I don't know. It's like, hey, we have a certain amount of copies available. They're $81 a single copy. I don't know. I just want to say that. It might be false, so don't take me up on that, people of Life's a Party. But there we go. Pixar facts.
Pixar facts. We love talking about Pixar. I love Pixar animation. There's some really good animation out recently. As I've been saying, the Sea Beast over on Netflix is really good.
Secret Life of Pets, I want to see.
Secret Life of Pets.
Obvious reasons.
I saw Sing 2 is actually on Netflix.
Oh, I saw that. It's trends. I think it's like top five, I think, on Netflix. What was the one you said you saw on Netflix?
The Sea Beast.
What studio is that?
I don't know. It's from Netflix.
The Sea Beast. Is it a Netflix original? Does Netflix have animated originals films?
I think they're starting to put out stuff, and I think that's their next big push they're probably do is compete in the animation space.
Animation needs some goddamn respect in the industry.
It really does. They're doing great work over there. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is one of those films that's coming out with a sequel next year, and there's just a lot of really great animation happening. So if you like animation, go support it. Go check out those films. Let us know if you want to see more Pixar from us. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, at Life's a Party Pod. Tell your friends. If you like our show, spread the word a little bit. And give us a big follow, subscribe on YouTube. We're doing great over there. And we appreciate you, you know?
Yep, for sure. Great show. Fucking wrap it up, Paul.
Great show, baby. That'll do it for us, as always.
Music, take us out.
Peace.
Later.